You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible. Oh, my mama. Oh, my mama made it, man. Anything's possible.
Rainy days, jump shot, fade away. This the best Celtics podcast day to day. I get excited about it every night about it. A real C's fan wouldn't want to live their life without it. Banner 18 in the making, we gotta make it. Best squad in the East and still we can't get complacent. Most winning franchise, so the history's ancient. You could tell them other guys to go and plan a vacation. Yeah, Corrales, Packard, and Jay King. Locked on, trying to get the 18th ring. The most in-depth coverage that you ever gonna hear. Well respected in the city like Russell's career. It's Raining Jays.
Hey there, welcome back to the Locked On Celtics Podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Thank you for making us part of your daily routine. We're here for you Monday through Friday, and this is the Friday podcast after the Celtics beat the Milwaukee Bucks 117-113 in a wild back-and-forth game on TNT, the national broadcast. Celtics bombing away from three. Milwaukee getting to the rim at will. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about Semi Ojeleye starting. We're going to talk about Gordon Hayward's passing and the Celtics initiating the offense with people other than Kyrie Irving. And of course, Kyrie Irving going supernova. We're the Raining Jays, John Corrales, Samuel Jamison Packard III. We are here in the bowels of the Boston Garden with, I actually am now experiencing.
Yeah, this is what it's been like the entire time.
Like, we joked about it in the last post game. And I was like, ah, ha, ha, jam. There's no real construction. But yeah, there's like heavy machinery moving things around now. So I guess the Bruins are coming back and the Celtics are off for a 5-game road trip. They're not back here for another 2 weeks. So they're deconstructing the garden. And so if you hear beeping and other construction noises behind us, that's it. But hopefully our fancy microphones will not pick up much of that.
And if you're a Raining Jays fan and a longtime listener, you'll know this is pretty standard with the environment I operate in.
It's very on brand to have construction noises in the background. So,
well, let's talk about this game. It was as you mentioned, it's a story of the Celtics hitting threes and the Bucks hitting twos. And if you're going to have a competition or a race to the top, I'd rather be the team with the threes. And it worked out well for the Celtics tonight, but they come one shy of tying a record for made three-pointers. Attempting 55.
That's wild.
It's absolutely wild. And we're talking about, I think, Danger Cart, a great follow on Twitter, had a great point that the Celtics may set the record tonight, but that record is going to be obliterated this year with the pace NBA teams are playing.
I'm surprised that was it.
25 felt very low. Clay Thompson can do 14, a team can do 30.
I thought that the Warriors must have hit 30 by now. But no, the Celtics, my God, they bombed away. So, there's really two numbers here that sum up this game very well. The Celtics outscored Milwaukee 72-27 from the three-point line. 72 of their points came from the three-point line. Milwaukee outscored Boston 62-22 in the paint. And it was Giannis attacking over and over and over again. What do you have? 33 points. He shot 11 free throws. The entire Celtics team shot 13 free throws, and that's because they were fouling down the stretch at the end. So points in the paint, outscored by 40. Points from beyond the arc, Celtics outscored them by, what is that, 45?
So, oh, yeah.
So
15 whole threes.
Yeah. So and it was a four-point game. So that's the difference right there. I mean, Al Horford shot 11 threes in this game.
He was the entire team was trigger happy, but it's not like in games past where we've seen them force a lot of threes. They were taking open threes the entire game. It's part of the reason why they made 43%. But the Bucks defense, basically, anytime Al Horford was involved in a pick and roll, they would go with the guy with the ball, leaving him open. He is one, a great playmaker, but we all know Al Horford is going to look to make a pass first. Like, that's the kind of player he is, and he's only going to take a three if it's wide open. He took 11. It seems like they were really attacking Brook Lopez and Ersan Ilyasova, who just kind of felt like they were dropping on most pick and rolls to try and cut off the drive, and that just left Al Horford wide open. And when they did kind of sell out on Kyrie coming around the screens. It also left Horford wide open, but just completely chucking. It felt like the Celtics at some points in the second quarter had they were kind of be forced into mid-range shots, but then they figured out that like drive as hard as you can, engage the big, and then kick out. That's where they got a lot of their threes, is getting that paint touch and then kicking out. And it definitely worked for them tonight, especially in the third quarter, where it was insane. Oh, on top of all that, like that's a general thing. Then Kyrie's just insane and can do it. Like, right. Can just hit a three, like can score. This is the second time or consecutive games he scored 9 points in 90 seconds. Three threes in a minute and a half. He did it against the Pistons. Right. He did it tonight. That's just a special thing that Kyrie can do. So that's on top of the offense just giving what the Bucks gave them.
Jay King actually had a tweet. I don't have the tweet in front of me, but the gist of the tweet was we had talked about, and actually this was something that we talked about in the Lost podcast from last night, which still bugs me. But the one thing that he said, and I will give him full credit for it, is that he thinks that Kyrie is passing up too many threes and has been throughout the season passing up too many threes. Now he has the example of Kyrie going out there, taking the threes that are there. And there was a play in the third quarter, I think, where Kyrie, after hitting a barrage of threes, then when he was open, two Bucks overreacted and went to him. And then Jason Tatum was in the corner and he got himself an open three. So that was a scenario where the taking of the threes by Kyrie actually allowed somebody else to get open. He created for other people by taking the threes himself eventually.
That was his fourth one. He hits three threes in a row. Of course, the Bucks are going to sell out for him and they leave Jason Tatum, known guy who can shoot three pointers, wide open in the corner.
Right. And that happened a lot. Like, they made decisions defensively. The Bucks, by the way, second best defensive team in the league coming into this game. They made decisions that left a lot of guys open. And I think what we're seeing is that playing against the Celtics team that's almost at full strength. No Jaylen Brown tonight because of the plantar fasciitis. But we're seeing them face a really, really good team. And it was their first really big test. They played Toronto, but there was no Kawhi Leonard. And we're seeing that under Budenholzer, they're making great strides, but they still have things to work on. Early in the season with a new coach and a new system and new defensive principles, the pressure that the Celtics put on that team actually showed up tonight. We saw from Milwaukee the things that a new team is facing, where two guys go one place and they're confused. And look, the Bucks were the second best defensive team in the NBA for a reason, but there's still a lot for them to work on, and the Celtics really took advantage of it.
It felt like they were kind of keeping their offense simple tonight, where it's just like they routinely did the same thing over and over again. Either Brook Lopez would drop or they just kept running the same offense. And maybe it's just early in the season. They're trying to implement a defensive system and not do getting too crazy with the schemes. But it worked for the Celtics tonight. And they needed every three-pointer they could take because of how well Giannis was playing and how well the Bucks were basically able to get to the rim. The Celtics also came in with a top-five defense, but really weren't. Did not do much other than the 16-point first quarter. After that, were not great. And basically, the Bucks could get to the rim at will. Not just Giannis, but Eric Bledsoe. Chris Middleton had some nice drives. So even Tony Snell, who's probably the most frustrating Bucks player. but you said that stat. They had 68 points in the paint. It was like the Celtics had a real problem just staying in front of their guy.
So I just flipped on the Instagram Live, and if you saw what was going on in the background, they're actually literally deconstructing the room as we're podcasting, which is weird. Like, I feel like this is, I don't know what to make of this.
Nah, this never happened to me before,
but this is a new one.
They were literally taking down walls.
We're like filling out, we're like, oh, there's a room here. We can podcast.
We're breaking down barriers with our podcast.
So on the Instagram Live, you get to hear my disembodied voice and see Jam Packard. So remember to follow us on the Locked On Celtics Instagram, Locked On Celtics on Instagram, Rainin_Jays on Twitter, And well, Raining Jays on Facebook. Now I'm going to try to keep keep all of those social outlets updated. So be sure to follow us there. And, of course, follow on Twitter, Locked On NBA Net, Locked On NBA Net on Twitter. It's an awesome feed where every one of our hosts is included.
Do you know how Locked On NBA Net is curated? Because sometimes they'll retweet one of my weirder tweets, and I'm like, ooh, what are they going for, Locked On NBA Net? And then sometimes it's just like straight basketball, and it doesn't get retweeted by them.
I don't know. I don't know who curates it or what curates it.
Like, anytime I mention Erotic City, boom, Locked On NBA Net picks it up.
That's your brand. That's your brand.
But how do they know my brand?
They look, Locked On NBA Net knows. They just know.
I'm glad then.
So let's see here. Answering a couple of questions here. The question is, where's Jay King? Jay King is doing work in the media room and talking.
He's
to
in
players.
The locker room getting the inside info, cooking up sources with a new haircut.
That's
looking
it.
Good.
Looking
the high
fresh.
Top fade. Yeah.
You know, we were joking about that, but since he joined The Athletic, he actually got like
major glow
athletic.
Up.
Yeah, I mean, he's big time now. You know, I can't even show my face on Instagram. So, all right, let's move on here. Hold on, I gotta slide on over to my notes.
Let's talk about Gordon Hayward tonight.
Yes, that's
making,
the next thing I had down there.
Making plays, a tremendous passer, but he also knocked down a 3 of 5 from deep, making plays in the mid-range. But I think we were both of us were impressed by his passing tonight. He made some passes that literally, one pass to Kyrie across the court, like two-handed, that literally made me gasp.
That pass, like off the bounce, one hand into the shooting pocket, across the court, from the right elbow right into Kyrie's hands to get that three.
Oh, look. That's not even the one I was talking about, but that also was a great one. He did a two-handed one. Kyrie missed the shot, so it wasn't as impressive.
Oh, right.
But it was like, I literally went, yeah. And I was very excited. But yeah, him passing was great tonight. Those two passes to Kyrie, and then he had this nice stretch in the third quarter, was him and Mook running pick and roll. And he just made the right decision every time. It really felt like he was better at probing the defense than Rozier was, and that he would like make a better secondary ball handler. But he did great things there in the third quarter, and it just tells like he's getting more comfortable, better. And he had a goaltending night, but it was an explosive goaltending, which is what you want to see from Gordon Hayward.
Yes. Gordon Hayward's vision is elite. And so I like him running the point. The Celtics had a lot of running the point, other people running the point, like Al Horford. They have a lot of different guys initiating the offense. Now, I asked Brad about that in the post-game scrum, and let's listen to that.
Well, I mean, all those guys can make plays. Al at the top of the key allows us to get more of our cutting and our motion type actions, which I really like. And we did a good job of that when we went on that little run in the fourth. And then, you know, obviously Kyrie's good, really good up there. Terry's good up there. Like, you got a bunch of guys that can play up there. And I think Gordon's really good off pick and rolls. Obviously, he's a great passer off of those. And so we'll just keep feeding all those guys in those different spots. And as the season goes along and I get more comfortable with the team, we'll add more to try to take advantage of that.
So Brad likes a lot of different guys initiating the offense because a lot of different guys can, and he likes how people can cut behind Al Horford, and there's just a lot of action that can be done when different guys are at the top. Like when Al Horford has the ball, you've got four other wings that can do a lot of things that you couldn't do with a big that as one of the other four guys. And Al Horford's such a good passer that allows for the Celtics to do different things. And as Brad said, he's looking forward to adding a lot more. So I'm looking forward to see what they add. And going back to Gordon Hayward for a second, we saw a lot of Gordon Hayward initiating the offense, which means we saw a lot of Kyrie off the ball. And I just like Kyrie off the ball a lot. It takes pressure off of him, even though he can go out there and cook. I mean, he was dribbling. I don't know how he maintained his dribble sometimes, but
in and out of traffic on possessions that didn't really work, but it's like, oh, he coughs off the ball, and then only he could scurry around seven defenders.
It's insane how he can just go and, oh, I lost control. No, I didn't. I just wonder if he ever really lost control. Allowing, it's great that he can handle the ball like that, but allowing him off the ball allows a different dimension. A lot of catch and shoot. There was a question on Twitter earlier about, does he catch and shoot more often? I think he does because of this. and it allows for a lot of different things, a lot of different looks that defenses have to adjust for, because when Gordon Hayward has at the top of key, there's different things happening in front of him versus Kyrie, versus Al Horford, versus Jason Tatum, who can bring the ball up. You know, Terry Rozier, a lot of different guys have that opportunity. So,
and when Kyrie's in the corner, like, I think they open the half with it, just like the first play was a Gordon Hayward finds Kyrie in the corner, corner three. I feel like that's how Kyrie gets up to six made threes a game, because he's going to have the FU attempts. But if he gets in rhythm hitting the corner threes, it feels like the FU attempts are more likely to go in. So if you can get him, he's a known ball scorer. That's something I tweeted out. That's one of my great analysis from the game. But if you can get him open shots in the corner where it's, you know, it's closer, so it's easier to make, to get him in rhythm for outside shooting, it's hugely beneficial to the Celtics.
Yeah, I don't think it's any surprise that he gets hot after plays like that. When you can catch and shoot like that, when it's wide open, too. Like, how do you leave Kyrie wide open? You lose him, and there he is, and he has an opportunity to get into that rhythm. And once he gets into that rhythm, then the rest of it just feels easy for him. So, yeah, it's not a shock that that's the case. You have an Al Horford take.
Yeah, and it's fairly obvious. I don't think it's a hot take. He's the best defensive player in the league.
Yeah.
There's the one reason. He is the most versatile. He can guard Joel Embiid. He can guard Giannis. He can guard Ben Simmons. Other candidates like Rudy Gobert, they're big men. I say Draymond Green also has this ability, but he can't guard smaller players like Al Horford can. Al Horford shut down Chris Middleton multiple times tonight on drives. He knows where to be every single point in the game. And the fact that he can guard bigs as big as Joel Embiid and stick with people like Chris Middleton makes him incredibly versatile, and that's exactly what you want in a defender. So I don't think he's the best at guarding bigs or the best at guarding like littles. Littles is not how you would call them. Wings, I think is the phrase that most basketball people use.
I like littles though. Let's start calling them
bigs and littles. But he can do both, and so that adds more value, and so that makes him a great defender. Like Joel Embiid, Rudy Gobert, they're very good at rim protection and inside, but they really can't get you, like, give you the production Al Horford does on the outside.
Yeah, look, I'm not going to doubt that. Gobert and Embiid, we've seen it. Like, when they're allowed to patrol the middle of the paint, they are dangerous.
Same with Giannis and Anthony Davis.
Right. The thing with those guys is that you can game plan them out. If you're in a series, you can make adjustments that neutralize their effectiveness. We saw it. Al Horford, they couldn't have Embiid guard Al Horford. They had to.
And that's what makes Al Horford amazing, because he's not only the most versatile, but he can take those giant lane-clogging guys out of the game by drawing them out of the paint. God, he's so good.
He's over here against Brook Lopez. You know, you have to play Brook Lopez, obviously, when you're the Bucks, because you need that big who can shoot. But Brook Lopez didn't do any real damage today. He scored, 2 points?
Yeah, he was all of his 3-point shots were ugly. And I had a nice conversation with Brook Lopez about the Simpsons before the game, so I feel bad talking about him, but he was not great.
No.
0-for-3 from deep, 1-of-4. Really had a very minimal impact in 23 minutes. They had to take him off the court for some points and bring in Ilyasova, who also didn't have the biggest impact statistically, but I thought he had a better game than Lopez did.
Yeah, I mean, no one really had a huge impact in this game other than Giannis Antetokounmpo and Chris Middleton, especially late.
He started off real shaky, and it was like, this is a way more fun Chris Middleton than the one we knew from the playoffs.
Right, until the end where you tweeted, he's doing that thing where he doesn't miss. He had a real hot streak in the fourth quarter. But yeah, going back to the defensive centers, those big centers are guys that can, if you can draw them away, then you take away all of their superpowers, because they can't go back and guard the rim. That's why they're such great defenders, because they can prevent teams from getting to the rim and getting those easy shots. So Al Horford can still defend the rim, and yeah, you can draw him out, but that's not the key to the Celtics defense. So if you put a smaller guy on him, sure, he can go out and defend that guy too. He can switch. That's the whole key to this Celtics defense, switching and making sure that the help behind the switches is there so they can neutralize those drives. Now tonight they didn't do a lot of that very well, but what they did do is defend the 3-point line very well, which was like you got to kind of pick your poison with these guys with the Bucks. They came in as one of the best offensive teams in the NBA, as well as one of the best defensive teams in the NBA, because they could shoot a bunch of threes. They were third or fourth in 3-pointers made this season,
averaging I think what. How many did they hit tonight? Because I know they
hit 9 tonight.
So they're averaging close to 16 a game before coming into this.
So. Right. So the Celtics were able to really run them off the line. Of course, they missed a couple of shots that they could have made, but that defensive pressure, that's what won them the game. When I was writing up the preview, I thought usually when there's a star player, I will usually say, let the star player score 50, shut the rest of the guys down, and you'll win the game. But this wasn't the case tonight. I really felt like if the Celtics kind of were able to run those guys off the line, and that would kind of neutralize the threat of Antetokounmpo, because Giannis drives off of the space from those threes. And if you're running those guys off the line, and they're not able to hit the threes, and they're not threats from threes, and they're driving, you're taking away Giannis drives. So you're kind of defending Giannis by defending the 3-point line. And I thought they did a good job of that tonight.
And the crazy thing is like they did a pretty good job on Giannis, I thought. And there was still portions, especially in the fourth quarter, where it was just like, I mean, he's going to do whatever he wants. He's going to draw. Like, just early in the fourth, it was like he drew 3 fouls in a row.
Like and three then, fouls in 20 seconds.
If he wasn't drawing a foul, he got to the bucket. Like he's pretty much unstoppable. Going up against Mook, he just span right by him. He just powered right through Hayward. It's insane. Like he didn't. It's not even like the best Giannis night, and he still finished with 33 points. It was on 13 of 22. He's insane.
It's funny because he didn't. I don't know. But it didn't feel like he dominated this game. Which is wild to say they had 33 points on 11 rebounds, and I didn't feel like he dominated this game. He did get a lot of foul calls. Seven of his points came from the line. He took 11 free throws. He dominated the mismatches, but at no point did I feel like he was completely taking over. So there we go. There's that background noise. Let's move on to
Shemi.
Shemi Ojeleye.
Getting the start. For Jaylen Brown, who's a late scratch.
That was a surprise. Now, I wasn't surprised that Jaylen Brown was out tonight, because at shoot around, they really made it sound like he wasn't going to play. I saw him warming up. He looked okay, but he wasn't. He was really moving slowly as he was warming up. So to have him out wasn't that big of a surprise. I know Brad Stevens at, you know, an hour and a half before the game said, I just found out. I really felt like they had a plan in place, because they knew this morning that there was a very good possibility. So I don't think Brad Stevens at 6:30 was saying, hey, oh no, what do we do? Well, Shemi, let's put him in. Like, I feel like he knew that Shemi Ojeleye was going to be the guy, because they needed somebody that had the muscle to try to keep Giannis out of the paint, or at least away from the rim when he posted up. Giannis loves to post up and bully his way. It's almost like a taller Blake Griffin in a way. Well, he'll post and put his shoulder down and then spin off of that. And Shemi, I think, did a good job defending that as best he could.
I think the thing that was most impressive about Shemi was he was positive on offense. That's not something Shemi normally does, but he had knocked down two of his threes, had a dunk, an alley-oop dunk, which is shocking.
That was awesome.
He just... he did exactly what you wanted to do. He's played solid defense and stood in the corner, or I think he made his threes from the top of the wing, but he knocked him down when they were wide open, and that's exactly what you want. And he was important. I was talking to some of the writers before the game about who would replace Jaylen, and I think it made sense to me that it would be either Semi or Mook instead of Baines, just so you can get Al Horford on Brook Lopez, but he came in and did a very serviceable job. And I saw some idle chat on the interwebs saying that the Celtics offense looked better because they had Semi in the game instead of Jaylen Brown. They just had a role player who could stand there instead of someone looking to like kind of establish themselves. That's a hot take.
Yeah, I'm not a...
I think they're just like the Bucks defense was basically just giving them a lot of three-point right. looks. They definitely like, looked like they passed better, but it wasn't... I don't think it was a product of assigning wrong causality there.
Yeah, I like that phrase. Let's leave that phrase. I feel like the walls are closing down around us. That there are people who want to deconstruct this temporary room. So let's just get to the junk drawer. Do you have junk?
Oh, I got junk.
Yeah, let's get to the junk drawer and get out of here because I think people are waiting for us to finish up before so they can go home.
All right. I'm going to do it real quick. I tried to before the game because the election is coming up soon. Ask Brad about civic duty because he was the head civic intern at the Hartman Center for Civic Engagement when he was at DePaul University. And he just said, shut up, Sam. I'm not going to answer this question with any words.
I would have loved to hear him say, shut up, Sam.
That would have been a lot better than what he did say. It was just like, yep, we a lot of the guys on the team are somewhat involved in politics. And I was like, that was disappointing.
Look, you gave us that little tidbit about Brad that no one knew that he was the head intern
Civic intern at the Hartman Center for Civic Engagement. I expected him to give a rousing speech encouraging every American to go vote, exercise that right. But no, Brad disappointed me a little bit. I think it's the first time I've ever been disappointed in Brad. But I just think he wasn't in civic engagement mode. He was in basketball mode. So I'll give him that excuse. I'll sidetrack to talk about, well, real quick, but Jason Tatum's taking some bad shots.
Yeah, he still takes bad shots.
I think he needs the sideburns back.
I don't know. I think
this team's all about hair adjustments, so I think...
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Marcus Smart came in with the braids. Kyrie shaved his fro. Now we got to get...
Tatum sideburns.
Something I should, but I'm not going to edit in the... Monty Burns. I thought I told you to get rid of those sideburns.
Red Sox were here. That was cool. They came out onto the court. Benintendi looked like he had been on a 18-day bender.
Awesome.
Alex Cora made a point of shaking Brad Stevens' hand. I thought that was cool.
Nothing will ever top the celebration of Alex Ovechkin after the Caps won the Cup. He went on like a 3-month bender. Like I challenged Benintendi to do the same, but... There's no matching what Ovechkin did.
They were throwing those parachutes out of the rafters because yeah. I was up in the rafters. Back in my day, they used to have a T-shirt attached to them. Now they just have a little basketball keychain. And it's just like they're using the novelty of the parachute drop for not even giving out good prizes. A lot of three-guard lineups tonight is something I noticed. I started calling it in my notes three-guard Monty, but it's a lot of Rozier, Kyrie, and Smart. I don't know. I just thought it was interesting. It feels like that's Brad's one of his favorite things to do. Moving on. Lil Funk was here tonight. That's fun.
You got two Lil Funks.
Two Lil Funks. Common was here.
Yeah. I walked by him just now. I was like, oh, this is Common. I resisted the urge to go say something. I felt like with the credential around my neck, I should act professional, but.
Oh, yeah. You don't know. You just get nervous in these moments where it's like, there's no reason I should be next to Common right now.
You know what was really cool? I walked by Grant Hill. In the tunnel, and I'm like, holy shit.
It's Grant Hill.
That's Grant Hill. He's like my favorite basketball, like one of my favorite non-Celtics of all time. Anyway.
2 seconds left in the third quarter, Brad calls a timeout because he wants to squeeze out that one last possession.
That
fantastic
was awesome.
Stuff. We can just talk about what De'Aaron Fox did tonight. I think he had 31 points, 10 boards, 15 rebounds, and was like 9 of 13 for King's pick. De'Aaron Fox not going supernova is not good for Celtics fans. That is, the Kings have been not horrendous, and that's not great.
I feel like, yes, it's not great. But
it's kind of cool, though.
It is kind of cool. It is. You gotta give it to that. I'm sure that Philly fans are enjoying this, first of all. Look, it's a long season, and they will probably, because they're the Kings... There will be some sort of implosion coming. There's very easily a possibility of a 10-game losing streak in the Kings' future. So, but look, I'll take fun Kings. If it makes Philly fans feel better to say, oh, they only gave up the 10th overall pick rather than the second overall pick.
It could be Zion, though.
Could be. It could be.
Man, that guy can jump.
He is a freak athlete.
I'm actually looking forward to Duke basketball, which is not a phrase I thought I would ever say in my life. I have to give a shout out to my main man, Efren Ramos, one of the greatest GIF creators in the game. He tweeted using the hashtag Rain Junk. He said, "My wife said that Ersan Ilyasova is cute. I think he looks like Dracula. Am I crazy?" No, I don't think Ersan is cute at all, and I think he looks more like Dracula, but could be a cute Dracula. I don't know.
Maybe in the world of Dracula's, he's
Like on the scale of Dracula's, he's a hot Dracula.
Yeah, like he's like on the cover of Transylvania's like GQ magazine or something like that.
Transylvania Illustrated. And then finally, I just want to give a Tommy point to Gordon Hayward. Fourth quarter, I had a nice steal, and I just remember that Tommy points were a thing. Interestingly enough, that I completely didn't mean to bring this up, but apparently Danny Ainge was on the broadcast tonight in the second quarter for NBC Sports Network and just talking crap about all the players, like, oh, Hayward had a bad shot there, ball watching on defense, saw Tatum shouldn't have took that. That's fantastic. Like, I want my GM just on the air just being like, this is not good enough.
There was one point where, like, Gordon Hayward just completely fell asleep on defense. There was a backdoor cut, and he got burned. It was so egregiously bad. It was like on the level of those James Harden videos where it's like, what are you doing? He was just standing there like zoning out for some reason. It was weird that in the third quarter, Gordon Hayward came out after 2 minutes and then didn't go back in until like there were a couple minutes left. He sat for like 10 minutes in the third quarter.
Only played 3:38 in the third quarter.
Yeah. So it was, I don't know, that was weird, but it all worked out.
Also, somehow had 3 assists in that quarter. Well, freaky.
Yeah, I don't know.
His assist per minute ratio is fantastic.
That was great.
That third quarter was insane. 8 of 14 for three-pointers. Kyrie's 3 of 4. Morris 2 of 3. That was that stretch where Kyrie hit 3 threes and then found Tatum for the fourth. I think that was the first official Erotic City moment of the year. Like,
yeah.
That was the first time where it was like, this is what we mean.
We got a couple of those stretches, too. There was a stretch where I forget what led up to it, but it ended with Marcus Morris hitting that three.
And that was the Mook and Hayward power hour, which is a duo I did not think would come together, but they did some nice things tonight. And you know me, guys. I'm always trying to put two Celtics players in a buddy cop movie, and I think the best one is Marcus Morris and Gordon Hayward. I don't think I've found a better one.
Absolutely. Well, yes. Maybe Terry Rozier, but it's like Terry Rozier and Gordon Hayward and then Horford and Mook.
I mean, I've had I feel like I've discussed entire police forces where I've paired up different Celtics where Brad Stevens is the grumpy lieutenant who plays things that does everything by the book, but it's got a heart of gold secretly under his harsh exterior. I mean, you could have a whole bunch of different cop shows. I think it'd be fantastic.
I like it. All right, let's wrap up the show. I swear we're going to get kicked out, or these guys are going to come in with nail guns and throw.
There's literally
lines.
A bobcat machine outside waiting to take
idling.
Us down.
I feel like it's going to take this whole thing down. So, all right, let's wrap it up. Thanks for listening, everybody. If you're a new subscriber or new listener, thank you for listening. If you are a regular listener, thanks for tagging along here. Appreciate it. Hope you give us that 5-star rating and a good written review. That really helps us out. And, of course, share the podcast. Tell everybody to listen to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network.